Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket. From sports and concerts to comedy and theater, every purchase is fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets with confidence. And our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Thanks, guys, for letting me know how bad Alex Claudio is ahead of time.
Well, He's not bad.
You should have listened to the last show and you would have known better.
He's not bad. He looks like a loogie.
Excuse me?
Is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's February 28th, 2018. Tomorrow is March, and regular season games start in March, so let's get ready. I'm Eric. He is Tristan. With us today, the awesome researcher and my best pal, Kyle Soppe, awesome producer, Gabe Bassain, and awesome editorial watchdog, Leo Howell, who I hear is close to earning a 10-day tryout with the beloved Rays. Tristan, how are you today?
Wait, tomorrow's March? I thought we had a leap year here. Did I do my math wrong or something?
It's quite a leap.
Yes. Also, Kyle's your new best friend, huh? I wonder why that is. Could it have to do with the ranking of a certain player?
Tyler Chatwood over Rick Porcello every time.
Yes, welcome to the club.
Oh, club. I just saw you take Porcello in a draft, didn't I?
After Chatwood.
Am I having bad dreams?
Way
here?
After Chatwood.
Love the direction of this podcast this year. We are off to
flying. Off to a great and rollicking start. We have lots to discuss on today's show. A breaking news signing just minutes ago. We've also got injuries to discuss. Spring games are underway. And Tristan has been writing and ranking. Let's get it started with the buzz. I would hate for our show, our last show of February, to be led by Lucas Duda, so we'll bury that a little bit.
Oh, come on. It's the signing of the spring. Oh, he's going to play.
Play? He's going to bat third and hit 30 home runs.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Really,
yeah, I mean, granted, Hunter Dozier is not exactly the healthiest fella, at least from his career, but still, I mean, couldn't he have done the same thing?
I mean, while we were waiting for you to, you know, finally wake up and join the show, we were talking about Duda with the Royals, and I was thinking, you know, he's going to end up in my top 200,
I know,
which will be updated before you actually download the show, I assure you.
The important thing, by the way, is I got that third pot of coffee ready for the show, and that's all that matters here.
Injuries, I think, is one of the major stories right now. Not just Brent Honeywell, though that's the most extreme. The Tampa Bay right-hander out for the season. It's Tommy John surgery, but I think that's the only guy right now who is seriously injured and out for the season, like, right? I mean, Honeywell was going to start in the minors.
Jake Berger too, but that was more
another
of a
prospect who wasn't ready. But like, I'm starting to worry about some of these other guys. Marcus Stroman,
yep,
with a shoulder injury, not a lock to be ready by opening day, which really means he won't be ready by opening day. Jake DeGrom with his back injury. We just found look at this. I'm on Twitter and I just saw a picture of Yuli Gurriel in a hospital bed. So apparently he had surgery of some sort.
Oh, geez. I got to rewrite my injury thing now.
So, yes, it looks like Yuli Gurriel. Oh, that's the hand thing. That's the Hammett bone.
Yep.
Which we've seen so much that I don't even need Stefania Bell to come on and tell me what it means.
48 hours this has developed. 48 hours.
So that's kind of a normal injury. He's out a month and a half. So he'll be back. Back in probably mid to late April. So that creates a buying opportunity. For Yuli Gurriel.
It does, yeah, because, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, like, what's exactly is your injury strategy with this? In this case, because we know the timetable and probably this is just going to shave off, what, 3 weeks of regular season time, I would just adjust my projections and draft accordingly with that. It means what? He loses three rounds? Four rounds?
He could lose more than that. I mean, like a Hammett bone injury, sometimes you lose power. Now, he didn't hit for a ton of it last year, 18 home runs and 564 PA. So I don't want to assume that Gurriel plays in April because Houston also is really, really good and have a lot of depth. I mean, A.J. Reed could bat 350 in that time with 10 home runs. A.J. Reed could be this year's Chris Shelton. Then what does Houston do?
Chris Shelton. That's not a positive.
It is in April.
It is in April,
showing
yeah.
My age on that one. I don't remember what year that was, but it was a long time ago.
Oh, that was probably a good 10 years ago at this
point. The point is, and there's lots of names to get to on today's show. It's a packed show. Let me tell you, so packed. Who plays first base for Houston in April? Is it just the guy who has a lot of positions, Marwin Gonzalez? Is it A.J. Reed, Tyler White, J.D. Davis? What do you think?
I think it's Marwin Gonzalez. I think it's a great opportunity for A.J. Reed, and then after him it would probably be Tyler White next, and after him it would probably be J.D. Davis. But we're looking at minimal gains, maybe. I'll put it this way. A.J. Reed now gets onto the auction phase of an AL-only draft. If you split these up into filling your roster and then taking reserve picks, instead of being a speculative reserve pick, I think he's a little more interesting late-round buy. I don't know that there's much more there. I think Gonzalez, at least this gives him a position. He didn't really have a place to play every single day.
I think he was going to play left field.
I kind of like the Derek Fisher idea.
Yeah, I think so, too. From the NBA to MLB. Good for Derek Fisher.
Yes.
I mean, he can
still
pass the ball. all right, so right now, if you had a draft today, and I think you do, actually, in like 2 hours. Is that right, Editorial Watchdog Leo? We have a draft in a couple hours?
Yeah, there will be a mock draft today, and you can read all about it, dear listener, tomorrow on the website.
How great is that? Look at that. We're actually talking on the show and giving you information that you can use. So let me ask, Lucas Duda versus Yuli Gurriel, who would you take first?
Gurriel.
But you sound confident there, and I don't know why you are. I'm going to rank Duda ahead of Gurriel when the show ends.
There's absolutely a path to that happening. The big issue I have with Duda is how much of a drain he puts on batting average. So in our standard, and I'd say even the 12-team mixed leagues, I prefer waiting on Gurriel for a month, I guess, is kind of a medium-range timetable. I'd rather have the higher floor.
In a 10-team league, I don't really like waiting a month, to be honest with you. I don't see the point.
Either,
unless it's a fantastic. I'll wait for Mike Trout. Okay, I'll wait for Noah Syndergaard. But like, I'm not waiting. This is a guy I had ranked in like round 19. I'm waiting a month for this guy.
Well, this is the thing. If we're going to take the 10-team perspective, I'm not going to draft either player. Like, they're not going to be the answer, because what would happen is if I'm going to kind of risk something on the two of them. Duda is probably my 3 to 4 week fill in with my final pick, and then I'm taking Gurriel once he gets back and is healthy.
Oh no, I think Duda is in my top 200. But
what exactly do you think he's doing? What do you think the final numbers look like?
Doing what he did last year, which is, you know, he could threaten 30 home runs, knock in 90, as long as, you know, Alcides Escobar doesn't lead off. Maybe he'll miss 40 games along the way, but he did that last year. So Lucas Duda, what did I just say, guys? Like, I'm ranking him similarly to, let me see if I can pull up the name here.
Chris Davis?
Like,
the first baseman?
No, it wasn't Chris Davis. It was Boer with lesser batting average.
A much lesser batting average.
All right, well, I've got Yonder Alonso, number 204. Is Duda that much worse? Or at worse at all?
Probably not. The thing is, we're talking about the deeper leagues. I don't think that Duda can scratch the surface here because of the batting average in our standard game. But in everything else, yeah, he's very competitive with Alonso.
All right,
I actually like the power better. I'm with you on that. But the park's not good.
No, but Eric Hosmer managed to hit 25 homers there back years. Every time he didn't hit a home run, he hit a ground ball. Lucas Duda's not doing that. So are you worried about Jake DeGrom and the back problem?
Not yet. It's on my list of things to track, but I'm not downgrading him just yet.
Boy, if I could pay a nickel for a list to see that list of things you're tracking. Is that list 10 long? Is it 100 long? Do tell, Tristan.
For the spring list, it's about two dozen long. In terms of injuries, it's roughly 15.
All right, so Marcus Stroman, they say no structural damage in the shoulder, hoping to resume throwing in the next week or so, not a lock to be ready by opening day, which tells me he misses 3 starts. What do you think?
I like that number exactly. I'm estimating 2 to 4, at least when I do my projections. I dropped him about 9 spots among starting pitchers in the rankings. The timetable to keep in mind, which is why we're giving this number, is that he's going to have to, after he starts throwing, build up the workload. So even if he's healthy and on the mound in late March, he's not going to have the workload necessary to make those starts the first couple of weeks of April. I'd estimate he's back like April 15th to 20th range.
More saves this season, Andrew Miller or Tim Lincecum?
You
can make the case.
And Greg Holland's story last year taught
Throw
me
him
something.
In there, too. Holland, Miller, and Lincecum.
Yeah.
Who ends up with more saves this season? As of today, last day of February, Lincecum, if you hadn't heard, signed a 1-year deal with the Texas Rangers. And there's a path for saves there if he's pitching well. I don't know how he's going to. He didn't throw hard the last time we saw him, but
But he threw harder in the scout session a couple of weeks ago. It was 90-93 with the fastball was the range that was quoted.
Where are you ranking him among relief pitchers? And he's not even eligible at relief pitcher. So, right? He's only a starting pitcher.
Unless,
you know,
we
go around the rules here, which is up to the editorial watchdogs and the
suits.
Let's
see.
But the point is, would you draft Lincecum in a 10-team draft right now?
No. It's... The path is there, but Alex Claudio has done well enough that if he doesn't have a bad spring, I think he's going to start in that role. So Lincecum is the kind of guy that you're keeping tucked away in a 10-team and hoping that you add him if he looks good in middle relief in the first couple of outings. But there's absolutely a path. Like I said, the Greg Holland lesson taught us something, and that is not to discard these guys who sit on free agency and then have one of those scout sessions and they look a little bit better than they did the last time we saw them in the major leagues. This is another guy I'm calling an AL-only speculative stash.
I don't even have Alex Claudio rankable or draftable in a 10-team league. I am number 278.
269 for me, so we're both in the same group.
Well, I copied you, and then I just kind of tweaked a little bit so nobody would notice.
Well, I feel really dumb now because I took him at the end of our recent mock draft. So thanks guys for letting me know how bad Alex Claudio is ahead of time.
Well, He's not bad!
You should have listened to the last show, and you would have known better.
He's not bad. He looks like a loogie.
Excuse me?
He looks like a loogie.
You can't say it like that. Because that sounds bad.
All right.
People that are listening to the show are thinking, whoa, what did he just call him? Explain. Now, if you say, like...
All right, let's define
it. He looks like a loogie. That's not very nice. That's what you mean. Take a timeout in the
lefty
corner.
One out guy. That's okay. It was a baseball prospectus, I think, was the
There's a proper way to
that.
Explain it. Like, yes. You know, his role will be as a loogie, okay? That's different than saying, he looks like a loogie. No, can't do that.
He fits the profile of your left-handed specialist. Your guy who comes in to only face the left-handed hitters like Mike Myers back in the day, and then you take him out when the righties are in there. But he pitched well enough, and he gets enough ground balls. He's really extreme on that he could hang in there as the closer for a little while.
All right, so Noah Syndergaard, the aforementioned Mets right-hander, touched 101 mile per hour with like half his pitches. Was it yesterday or the day before?
I think it's 2 days ago at this point.
And, of course, you know, Twitter being Twitter, that's people weren't happy. They were scared. Now they're concerned that he's using it up in February or that he's going to have another arm injury of some sort or, you know, why waste it now or over
using
under.
It up.
Over under 27 starts for Syndergaard.
I'll take the under on that. It's the safe layup.
Is that because of him throwing 101 in a spring game or just because of last year or because you don't like Mets?
It's more that just he's had enough injuries that I don't think this is the kind of guy you can trust for 30 and 200. I mean, for me, those are the numbers, 30 starts, 200 innings. I just don't think you can write him in for that. If you're drafting him at the level of 26 and 170, 175, by all means, I'll take the chance. But, I mean, what's the most you could project for him in terms of starts and innings?
30 and 200.
You think he could do it?
Why can't he? Didn't he do it 2 years ago? Oh, that's right. You only look at last year's numbers.
Did he do it 2 years ago? Get to those thresholds both?
Yeah,
close.
I don't know. I'm just going off the top of my head. But we project 158 innings, which seems low to me.
That's
but
low, yeah.
Why can't he do what Kershaw did last year? Be dominant, but still miss a month or two.
So he had 30. You got that. You were halfway there. He had 183 and two-thirds.
All right. Well, the new 200 is 180 innings.
So, yeah, and that's the takeaway here. We both have him in the top 10, don't we?
Among starting pitchers?
Yeah.
Let me check. I don't know. I think I do, but it's no, I don't. I have him 12, actually.
See, so I have him 7. So
pitchers,
I mean...
So I am more scared than you are. I've got the obvious four at the top. Bumgarner's obvious number 5. Next tier, Strasburg, Greinke, DeGrom, Carrasco. I guess Verlander and Severino belong in that tier as well. I guess Syndergaard does too, just at the bottom of the tier. In fact, I have all those guys in a row. 40 through 47 is all those pitchers I just named, so I have Syndergaard at the back end of it, which tells you I don't want him. But I still think the upside is there to be a top 5 starting pitcher. But I have him 47.
I'd say, other than Strasburg, Syndergaard has the upside of being the tops in that group, but he also comes with the greatest risk of the group.
So you would take Syndergaard over DeGrom?
I would take him over DeGrom. I feel really good about DeGrom, but, you know, I mean, as we've just said, the back question is something to monitor.
All right, so spring games were a week in. Have you noticed anything? Are you looking at lineups? Don't look at closers, people. Don't even look at that because they're not putting their closers in the ninth inning. But lineups, except for the Philadelphia ones, which have been all over the board, anything you've noticed in any spring games, any players you watched and said, whoa, that guy looks – and we have to admit, Kyle Schwarber did lose a lot of weight. So maybe he can actually hit 250 which would change his value a ton. He'd be a top, you know, almost a top 50 player with that power. Anything you've noticed so far?
So the first thing I've noticed is that the relief pitchers being dabbled as starting pitchers haven't been faring too well, and Chad Green tops that list, which means that I'm not going to invest too much in these guys who I projected with relief stats sticking in the starting rotation. Actually, Rangers, Mike Marner was another example of those. This is the one that's it's deeper leagues here, but Colby Rasmus in his past two games against righty starters has been locked in at leadoff. And the idea that the construction of the Orioles lineup has something to say here. Where does Jonathan Scope bat? He's batting second today. Rasmus is led off partially because I think they want to get him some reps after the injury. But I think this says he's going to be a starter in right field against that side, and maybe it's an opportunity for those deeper leaguers.
So they're not going to play the rookie who's ready. Amazing.
Amazing. But Austin Hayes is dealing with an injury right now, so I think that explains it.
You and I would both agree he is ready to hit 25 home runs and say bat 260. Now, maybe that's not awesome, but it's good enough. And they just signed a guy off the street who's been around a decade, can't hit lefties, didn't even want to play last year, and he's going to take the job. That's baseball. And everybody whining about all these free agents not signing. Hey, how about, you know, lower, like Lucas Duda got $3.5 million for a year, which is still good money. It's not, you know, Mike Trout money, but lower your expectations, guys. I mean, Jake Arrieta with the 6-year deal. Good luck. I pray it's not my team doing it. All right. So we have a mock draft today. The results will be up tomorrow. The first mock draft was last week. Anything you noticed there? The top four pitchers, the big tier, none of them went in the first round, but they all went with the first four picks of the second round. So I'm noticing if you have like the fifth or sixth pick in the draft and you want to get one of the top tier, just reach. You know, if you want to take Max Scherzer number 5 or 6, I don't have a problem with that because you may not get any of the top four tier at 15 or 16.
Yeah, I've made the case for this with the modified Labadini plan, which is the one where in auction terms you spend $9 in your 9 pitcher spots. The draft version of it is that you take one of those four ace pitchers in the first round and then go all hitters after that. I think that this year's top four tier, which there's really not much differentiation between these four individuals, does make sense with your first pick. But I think more likely in the largest number of ESPN leagues, those four aces are all going to go very close together, probably within at most 7 or 8 picks of each other in the second round or at the back end of the first, beginning of the second. I think that's the right valuation. I'd rather have the hitter, but if I got a late pick, I'm going to think about dipping into that pool.
And you're not going to win if you take Scherzer and then 8 $1 pitchers. Okay, we could stop talking about that.
Oh, I disagree with you wholeheartedly.
Stop it. Come on. Unless you get amazingly lucky.
Say, 2 years ago, when there was more pitching volume out there, I made it work.
Can't do it anymore. No, you can't.
Oh, I don't. I actually think you could do it more now, don't you? You don't?
You know how much luck you'd have to get there, Tristan?
Oh, I'll mix and match all year.
Shohei Ohtani was a top 100 pick in our first mock. He batted yesterday, didn't do much. Thoughts on him? Still top? Is he a top 100 guy to you?
Yes, I actually, that's another takeaway from spring training, is that I'm not changing the ranking, but I feel a little bit more confident in having him in my top 100 because I think there is something there as a hitter. He's got a keen enough eye at the plate that I think he has a chance of contributing something. I still think it's about 200, 250 PAs.
Where'd you put him in your dynasty rankings? Because they were posted today. Oh, my
generously.
Goodness. I'd say so. You have Ohtani number 39 in your dynasty rankings, which are up today at ESPN Fantasy. Go check them out. So there's a lot of rankings. These are separate. These are dynasty rankings. Trout, Harper, Correa. So you have Harper number 2.
Yep.
Man, I don't know. It's still only one great year. I mean, he's still young, but I don't know if I could do that.
Who would you put 2? In a dynasty league or dynasty league, who would you put 2?
Well, I mean, nobody seems to agree with me on Mookie Betts, but like again, why can't what he did 2 years ago resurface this year? Everybody's just looking at last year and say, like, I just read an article on our site where it says Mookie Betts isn't even worth like a first round pick. And I'm like, what are you nuts? He 2 years ago, he was terrific. He's leading off again. He's going to steal. The power's still there. The batting average, 125 runs scored. I love Mookie Betts this year. I have number 3 overall, and people are trying to talk me out of taking him in the first round. Bryce Harper's had one great year. He may never steal bases again. I don't even know where he's playing next year. I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in the top 3 or 4 of a dynasty, but I don't know. Your rankings look fine. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. Chris Sale was the first pitcher. Kershaw's 2nd. So no surprises. The top tier.
I was torn at 2, yeah.
You have Ohtani 39.
Yeah.
Right after DeGrom and Carlos Martinez. Wilson Contreras, number 40 in dynasty. Why would you take a catcher? You know that catchers get hurt, and their performance ebbs and flows. I mean, Posey is really the only exception here. Why would you take two catchers in your top 40?
Okay, so, and I was hoping you'd ask me this. Catcher is a very bleak position going forward. So in a dynasty league, look at the top two guys there and the advantage they're going to give you compared to a lot of these other options. Some of the better mid-range guys are aging. They're going to reach the latter stages where they have no more upside. And which prospects are you going to invest in? I understand that you could do the year-to-year approach. None. By all means, that's fine. But you don't think there's an advantage to having Gary Sanchez or having Wilson
I've been Harris? Arguing against that point for 20 years. No, there's no advantage. It's like saying you have the
Posey
best tight end.
Posey would have given you a
That's
big...
That's why you don't want Rob Gronkowski.
And Buster Posey proved you wrong 5 years ago.
Buster Posey hasn't been the number one catcher more than once in the last 5 years.
He's still been the unquestionably number one dynasty catcher, though.
Absolutely, but he hasn't been number one more than once. So
but that's not the aim here with those ranks. The aim is to get somebody you can lock in year over year, and I don't think you could do it
with anyone
else. My
goal is not to get the top catcher. My goal is to get the top team, and to build the top team, I'm not wasting my third pick in a dynasty on a catcher. I can't do it. Gary Sanchez might hit 40 home runs this year. The next year, he might have a knee injury and miss half the season because a catcher is much more likely to get hurt, to get tired, to have ebb and flow in performance than any other position except now starting pitcher, where half of them have Tommy John.
And that's the thing. And shouldn't I move down all the starting pitchers?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I mean, I absolutely would. Like, where do you
it's have, not, where do you it's have not a natural plan.
If you don't
from...
have Bregman ahead of your catchers.
Oh, he absolutely is.
I'm trying to find him.
He's 21.
Oh, okay.
Now, in Bregman's case, he has the Machado thing here. Machado's rank is a little bit more generous because of him gaining the shortstop eligibility and thinking that that's where he locks in for his career. If the two of them can keep that eligibility, that's a big positive for the two. In Bregman's case, I'm more skeptical he's going to get it.
Check out Tristan's rankings. Other stuff here, the closers, Jansen and Kimbrel, obviously in their own tier. Are they breaking the don't pay for saves mantra? They went in round four of our mock. That's pretty generous, isn't it?
It is. I can make the case only for Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen is making that Mariano Rivera case where he's the rare safe closer.
Isn't Kimbrel safe?
The metrics aren't quite Jansen-esque.
Because for it's 2 years ago.
It's simply the pitch that Jansen has and the level of year-over-year durability for the past three for Jansen. His numbers last year actually had a nice uptick, and it makes me think that even if he regresses to 2016, he's still the number one guy.
Fair enough. Check out our mock draft tomorrow and see what else happens there. By the way, another word from SeatGeek. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. And remember, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB. Frank Barney, that's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Back in a minute with Kyle's Hash Browns.
Yuck. It's so good. It's so good.
Like, nobody cares what I think, all right? But I don't like it.
Bus meet Eric's throwing arm.
Oh, hey, whatever, you know. You know, there's a lot of things I don't like that we're doing anyway. But, like, you know, this is what Gabe wanted. Maybe the metrics. Is this an analytical thing?
Actually, yeah. You know, I should really check the FIP of this song. I don't know. It's kind of showing a little bit of...
What's the Sierra of this song?
Shit, Sierra! There we go!
Didn't we start doing this song last season?
Low BABIP.
I think we started doing it last season. Where was the
sick lady from with emphysema was last year, isn't it?
BABIP! Come on, it's all about exit velocity. What is this song's exit velocity on line drives and fly balls, Gabe?
This song needs an exit velocity.
I would say
right
it's
on
kinda, it's probably not very good because it's a very slow song. So the exit velocity is number
one. I mean, how about, like, you know, we switch off every, like, week or month or something? Like, I mean, aren't you open to some change here?
Maybe you and I should each sing the background in alternate shows. Eric, you're on board for
how
that.
How about a little back, you know, like some Zeppelin in the background for the next show or something?
I bet Kyle can beatbox.
There's an issue with commercial licensing for Zeppelin stuff, I would imagine.
Why?
Unless we can get... Zeppelin
Tristan will sing Stairway to Heaven in the background of the next show.
Oh, jeez. Nobody wants to hear that.
Everybody wants to hear
that.
No. Ah, come on. No one's listening anyway. All right, Kyle, what do you got here? What do you got? Some questions?
I've got plenty of questions, but so does the Twitter sphere. So always get at me before our podcast. Hashtag 06010MLB, and we'll fire away at the guys. Blake has a few questions here. He's looking for a quick rundown on some of the new names in the pitcher pool this year. He's thinking guys like Gohara, Nikoulis, Hirano, Junis, Lamette wants to know, what exactly are these guys this year and beyond?
What is the deal with these guys?
Well, they're all different, obviously. They have different value. It's inherent on every fantasy baseball owner to learn these names because some of them might be really good. Of all the names you mentioned there, is there any that stand out to you, Tristan? I mean, Gohara, young starting pitcher with strikeout ability. Mikolas coming back to MLB. Where was he? Japan or Korea? I don't remember where.
Mikolas was in Japan. Japan.
Hirano could be the Arizona closer. Took me a while to rank him properly. Thank you, Tristan. Put a search field on the Excel spreadsheet.
That would be a... Hey, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea.
It took me 45 minutes to find Hirano. All right. And what else?
That's a new feature.
Lamette had huge strikeouts last year. She ought to know him. Jake Junis is the Kansas City rookie who I was in the queue to take him in a very deep dynasty league in which you're in. And then someone had him auto-picked for him. And I yelled. I was not pleased. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You probably did it. And I was going to take Jake Junis with that pick. Instead, I had to take Michael Chavis, which might actually work out better. But of the guys mentioned here, who do you like? Who don't you like?
So I like Gohara. Gohara's another guy who's dealing with a day-to-day injury. So just keep an eye on that groin issue, groin tightness, I think it is. Breeze through the minor leagues. This is the ex-Mariner prospect. The question for him is, and I want to see how he does this in the spring, is the development of his changeup because he struggles against right-handed hitters. I think he's in a good situation, top-ranked guy. Mikolas, I believe it was the slider he added when he was over in Japan. Let's get the exact one for you. Yeah, that was the slider.
Why is everybody
added
so confident that he's going to be a top 40 starting pitcher?
Because he's a Cardinal. Because he's a Cardinal.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, his ERAs the past 3 years in Japan, a huge caveat there,
they're irrelevant.
They're not irrelevant. They're
even if you
a little bit relevant,
right?
And
if you downgrade them because it's a lower level of play, it's still like a 1.92 ERA in 2015, a 2.25 last year. Like, it's still pretty good.
People tend to trust the system, and I do think that, and I'm trying to remind myself not to do this, that they kind of apply like a little bit of a bump for Mikolas because he's with the Cardinals. He's in a good situation in a good ballpark, and the fact that he added another pitch right before he went to Japan and then mastered it over there and came back has me thinking he's worth a speculative pick late, but that's it. I don't think there's any more upside. I think Gohara's more upside, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't take Mikolas.
Lamette, I've underranked, by the way. Lamette is a guy who, right now, I'm going to move him up because you're right. There's something there with the Ks.
I have Mikolas as my number 74 starting pitcher, which is probably not generous enough. But I just don't want to assume that numbers over there mean numbers over here. I can't do that.
Sure.
But could he be Julio Teheran? Sure. He could. Could he be better than Jameson Taillon? Sure. I'm not saying I'm not risk averse anymore. I'm taking lots of chances in my leagues. All right, and by the way, Arizona's closer situation, I really don't think Archie Bradley's going to close. I think they want to use him as like a five-out guy in middle relief. But, you know.
I think that's wise if they give him the Dellin Betances treatment. I'm not a Boxberger guy. Brad Boxberger is the third guy in the competition. I think Hirano could get the job. The one hesitation for fantasy owners is that this guy is not going to get you Ks. He's a pitch-to-contact ground ball guy.
Okay, well, that's a problem.
Oh, by the way, Lamette. Have you looked at Lamette's split?
Oh, yeah, lefties destroyed him.
But
all you need is one pitch to combat that, and then this is a 175 strikeout guy.
Exactly. Just give him a curve or a change. Man.
All right, we changed. Next question.
We're continuing with Blake there. He was also curious kind of for a player coming in. Notices Luis Castillo getting a lot of love for a pitcher that went 3-7. Wants you to explain
that. Oh, come on. Did you just point out one loss record?
I was just...
You take a timeout. You're off the show.
He's just reading the question.
Thank you.
Getting the bus, getting the throwing
win-loss
arm
record
ready.
Means nothing. Luis Castillo in his 15 starts had a great ERA and a great whip and a great strikeout rate. Everything was great about Luis Castillo. And as long as he can make 30 starts, I can envision 175 strikeouts. I don't care. I mean, wins? Yes, it's the Reds. He may not win 12, but I don't even think about wins when I'm drafting. I think about good innings and good innings with strikeouts, and Luis Castillo delivered it. I've got him ranked a lot better than you do. I'm trying to remember.
Really?
Yeah, I looked at your rankings, and I thought, that's just ridiculous. I've got Castillo in my top 30 starting pitchers? Yes, I do, and there's no way you do.
I absolutely do. As a matter of fact, he moved from 30 to 29 because of the Stroman.
You were looking at mine. You cheated.
No, I've had him there all along.
I looked at your rankings. You had him like 48 or something.
Luis Castillo?
Yeah, you probably thought he was the Florida second baseman.
I might have in the original offseason set before I did the research on him.
We both like Castillo a lot. Don't look at one loss record as ridiculous. This is a guy with strikeout potential. I mean,
they're going to ask why it came up, though, because when you look at the minor league numbers and they're different from what he did in the majors, they wonder why. And I'll give you it. It's as geeky as possible. He had a 9.8 runs above average per Fangraphs. It was 11th best in the majors last year. He had a partial season that's pretty extraordinary. And Eric, to your K's number, I have him for 180 with you.
You are so geeky.
Why?
You know, I'd rather you sing than change your voice like that.
Hi, hey.
Can we have a team vote on this? Who would rather Tristan sing?
I'll definitely sing.
Than
sing.
Talk like that.
I love Luis Castillo.
Okay, yeah, much better.
Any song about Luis Castillo is a good song in my book.
You have a book?
Well, I do have a book of things that I like and don't like. It's an internal book, not an external book.
Not for public sharing.
No.
Now you
sharing
you can,
though. The song is in that book.
Now you can download the book.
You guys are so mean. Like when I take a show off, you're going to put my song back on this music probably. But when I have to do the show, you're not.
Yeah, we'll see about that in the future.
Kyle, does anyone else have a question, or is it all this guy?
No, we got tons of questions. Dennis wants to know your thoughts on Trevor Story this season. Disappointing last year, but obviously good the year before.
No puns.
The never-ending story about this guy.
Ugh.
Too easy.
Did it. Ugh.
Well, what did we expect? We thought he was going to hit 45 home runs? Honestly, I'm not too surprised at all by what Trevor Story did. I thought he would hit maybe 30 home runs, because of Coors. But I said all along the batting average was going to plummet. There's no way he was going to do that again. And he didn't. He hit 239. So I think I look at what Story did last year, and it looks pretty legitimate to me. I think that's maybe a little bit better moving forward. He's being downgraded a lot in drafts.
He is, yeah.
Let me check his ADP.
Should he stay in the top 100 or be outside of it?
Well, that's a personal decision that every ranker will have to make himself.
Okay, then what's your decision on that?
He's currently at 97 ADP, so you're looking right there.
The ADP I'm looking at says 93. Oh, 93rd player, 97. Well,
it's changing
so when
a lot.
When you quote ADP, do you quote the rank or the average pick?
I usually quote the rank.
I usually do, too.
Yeah, I would go that way, but I sorted by shortstops, and it says 9, so that doesn't really help.
I've got Story 102, so the same as the ADP, pretty much. I think he is what he is, which is fine. I mean, that's power. That's a mid-round pick for power at shortstop. Just be careful, because the batting average ain't going back to 277. If anything, it goes to 217. That's the concern.
I would go more towards the 270 than the 217, though. It was a major injury he recovered from. Second half, 254 average, 266 isolated power. So I wonder whether we just throw away the first half because of the injury. And that's still a downgrade from the rookie season, to be clear.
Okay, fair enough. What's next?
Aaron's gearing his question toward auction drafts. How do you normally approach it as far as nomination goes and where you spend your money?
Tristan wins all his auction leagues.
Yeah, but Tristan wins all leagues, so that's not telling us anything.
What?
And Tristan's going to win Labor AL. It's this weekend in Arizona.
I've had two heartbreaking losses in a row. I didn't think...
Well, you're going to win bullpen, so at least there's that.
Revenge.
So what's your strategy? Because I don't have much of a strategy when I bring up players in an auction. Like, sometimes early I like to bring up players who I know are going to have high salaries that I don't want. Later, in the mid to later rounds, obviously there is more of a strategy to me because if I want to get a guy for a dollar or two, you know, I might. If I think Jared Eichhoff's really going to bounce back to 2 years ago, which of course nobody else in the room will think because nobody looked at 2 years ago, they all look at last year, I might nominate him for $2. That way nobody's going to three. So I might do that.
Yep. I like that move. I like that move.
I'm probably getting Jared Eichhoff for $2 in Sunday's draft.
So let's see how brief I can make this one. Number one, and the most important of all, is never listen to me in the reserve rounds of your auction draft.
You screw me every year in that.
I'm going out of my way to research stuff so that when you don't ask me this year, I'll have the guy
for
you. Okay. Yeah, you're not going to be happy when I show up, by the way. You're not going to be happy.
All right, give any real advice?
Okay. Rank everybody, price everybody. Be meticulous about it all the way down to the very last player. Rank by positions, not overall. Do it by tiers. Make sure you bracket in the tiers of players and note all of the points where you're flexible on the price, where it's not that a guy is consistent and that's exactly what he's going to meet, where you think there's upside or downside from him, and try to adhere to it as much as possible. For me, I note the guys I'm willing to pay the full price or a buck or two more, and all of the others I'm looking for discounts overall. And they can happen anytime in the auction, with the first pick or the last pick. Eric, you know that.
Can you share any strategy? Are you paying for an ace? Do you want to corner the market on steals, cheap on saves, no catchers? What are you thinking?
I think that steals are the imperative part of it, especially in your only leagues, because they will drop off quickly. And the last thing I like doing is being the guy who has to spend, you know, $5 extra on Denard Span in the late rounds. I hate doing that. So make sure you get your steals addressed early if you can. And I do think this is a year to pay for the ace.
I think Trey Turner might be the most expensive player in an NL only.
I think you're absolutely right. And would you pay it? Let's see how far we got. How far do we go in NL on Sunday?
Oh,
40?
He probably goes for 40.
Can make the case.
I bet he goes for more than Kershaw, especially now that some people are looking at Kershaw a little differently as not being the top guy. So,
more than Kershaw. Yeah, I could see it.
I think Trey Turner's going to be number one. Now, I wouldn't pay it. But then, you know, people bring up the other part. If there's only one major stolen base guy and you don't get him, that means you can still finish second with nobody that steals 30. Okay? I mean, like, don't kill yourself to get this guy when... I mean, literally, I could end. Everybody knows I love Manuel Margot. If I get Margot for a decent price on Sunday, I need like one other guy who steals like 25, and I'm okay.
I think for you, the point here, and I'll do the same thing in the AL, is that if Turner does go early and you want Margot, I think it would be a really good idea to throw him out there, set the baseline for stolen bases and those players you want in the first round. Make that your first nomination.
If I bring Margot up in the first round, he's going to go for $30, $25.
I like the idea of getting the steals locked in early. Last year's Lindor.
Why am I telling you? Well, nobody in that league would listen to this show. But I'm just saying, like, well, I mean.
He thinks.
I can't imagine.
We all have flights there to listen to things.
You can do that? You can listen to a podcast on a flight? What's next? I'm kind of half serious. I can't get into my iPod. I can't access the account.
So you can download a podcast.
You can?
Yeah.
How?
iTunes. So in the I'm going to do shameless plug here. The ESPN app, you can subscribe to shows and you can listen to them there. However, if you want to be able to download a show to be able to listen to in airplane mode when you don't have service, that sort of thing, that's where you go to Apple Podcasts and you can do that.
Oh, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, I'm driving to Arizona anyway. I'm not flying.
Have fun with that.
Well, if you don't want to drain all your battery, then you can download all your shows beforehand, so that way you're not live streaming them.
I'm listening to Pink Floyd. All right, what's next?
Don't you have to get the internet in order to do that, to stream them on the plane?
Okay, but my point is, if you download them beforehand, then you don't
prepare ahead, Tristan.
That's like planning.
Plan ahead. Come on.
Coffee's more important than planning.
I was on a flight last year, and the guy in front of me was listening to our show.
Yeah,
he turned around. He turned around and he looked at me twice, and I just shook my head and I put my hat down and I ran.
I heard stories about the guy I was sitting next to on a flight this one time. Really, just trouble.
Guy had a really big head.
I know. Jeez. That'll never happen again.
You've got some issues on your flights here.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, Ben wants you to give him an outfielder and a starting pitcher that you've got ranked outside your top 25 at the position that you feel good about this season that he can bank on, come back to the end of the season, and hold you accountable for.
Oh, it's all about accountability. Outfield and what?
Pitcher.
Pitcher. All right, so outside the top 25, I can give you a million outfielders.
He just needs one. No room on your roster for a million.
Manuel Margot. And actually, Nicholas Castellanos, who...
Hey, don't do that! Come
...is
going
to move up. I've got him at 32 at outfield, which is wrong. I need to move him up. Ian Desmond, I'm probably the only guy who has him in my top 25 outfielders. I mean, I have him in, but everybody else has him out.
I'm two spots out.
I like Desmond a lot. I like Margot. Castellanos is hitting 30 this year. Castellanos is going 30 and 100 and 275. He's undervalued.
100 on that team, huh?
Yeah, what on that team? What does that mean, Tristan?
Oh, that team's not good.
Detroit's still scoring 600 runs.
Yeah, and he's
Cabrera can bounce back.
Yeah, that's true. If Cabrera does bounce back, that's a big, big benefit for Castellanos.
I don't care if he does. Castellanos is good enough. Even bad teams have guys who hit.
I know, but if they're...
Will Myers hit for San Diego last year, and he ran.
But 100 RBI is tough on a really bad team. I like the idea. I'm completely with you. And throwing those two names are the first two I thought of, too.
You know who people like to say? Mazzara. I can't go there. What's Mazzara going to do to get himself to be a top 25 outfielder? He's not going to steal any bases. He's probably not going to hit 300. Is he going to hit 30 home runs?
Mazzara's going to gain in batting average and home runs, and he's going to lose severely in RBI because he was extremely lucky in that category. He was fifth highest in terms of successful plating of base runners last year.
Jackie Bradley Jr., really off the board here. I have him 46, but he says he's going to steal bases.
And this is the guy I hope
players
you get on
don't
Sunday.
Lie.
I
they
hope you get
tell the truth.
Dexter Fowler.
Okay, that's fair. Mitch Haniger, I could see. Piscotty and Meatballs, I could see.
I was going to say Piscotty. That's my pick.
I like it.
You know, and Carlos Gomez in Tampa, I got to say, he just went. I have so many drafts going on right now. He just went in my score sheet league. I don't have a center fielder, and now I'm sad.
Do you not consider this weird, though, that that was announced over a week ago, and they have not made it official yet? That's odd.
You think he didn't pass the physical?
Well, I'm checking to make sure it wasn't done.
And then the other one was starting pitcher. Top 20. So Luis Castillo is my 28. He could definitely make the top 25. Jose Barrios is capable.
Yep.
I've got Gerrit Cole 30 among starting pitchers. I'm sure nobody else has him that bad. But obviously he can get in.
Please don't say my guy. Please don't say my guy.
Samardzija.
Nope.
Your guy. Let's see. Well, Aaron Sanchez.
Another guy I hope is on your team on Sunday. Give you a hint. He's a teammate of the guy that I just mentioned.
Aaron Sanchez can't be on my team on Sunday. He can be on your team.
No, he's a teammate of the guy I mentioned that you should get on the hitting side.
I've already forgotten what you said.
Dexter Fowler.
What?
Lucas Weaver.
You have Luke Weaver as a top 25 starter?
No. Outside my top 25, that could have a big step forward.
Okay, how about Michael Fulmer? I could see that.
With health, I could see it. Yep.
Yeah, I could see Luke Weaver. I'll give you that one. Gausman, every year. But, you know, we can have a good laugh about that.
Lance McCullers Jr.
Hey! You know what? I just dropped him 50 spots. I did.
Then I'm sorry, fans, but the rankings won't be updated because that's obviously wrong.
How about Mike Clevinger? Oh.
I don't know what to make of that guy. He's got really good control.
How about the guy with the same initials as you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle.
I got you, Caraba. I see what you're doing.
Hashtag Tyler World.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm loving it.
It's chat world, and we all know it.
Oh, my God. The puns just keep coming.
Wait, what's his middle name?
Who cares? Wins.
I care.
Is it with an H?
That's what I'm wondering.
What?
What's Tyler Homer Chatwood?
No, he doesn't have a middle name.
Homer's allowed.
Question from Leo. What's the next best Tyler starting pitcher? Skaggs, Anderson, Glasnow? This is important information that people need to know.
Because this is important stuff. I mean, Anderson had some splits. Didn't Anderson do better at Coors? Let me check and make sure. That's probably wrong.
I believe he did, yeah. I mean, no, that John Gray is the guy who did. But that was 2 years ago. Let's see, Anderson.
I mean, good luck with Glasnow. Anderson did a lot better at home last year. I was right. In fact, he has each of the last 2 years. I don't know what's wrong with him on the road. But Tyler Anderson could be a top 50 starting pitcher. Absolutely.
Tyler Anderson was definitely a guy who I think is getting overlooked.
I just don't think it's proper to...
To what? Take a Rockies pitcher?
Well, yeah. I'm not taking John Gray. I'm not bidding on him. I have a bias against Rockies pitchers. I'm not going anywhere near their closer. I was wrong last year. He pitched great. But I'm not going anywhere near
him. Barely used. He pitched every 2 weeks.
I'm not on my list. He'll be on my do not draft list, I would imagine. Well, he probably, all closers will be. Oh, you know what? This year I may not put Jansen and Kimbrel on there. I just think there's something there.
I think you'll put the other guy on there, number three at the position.
I do not have your Yankee closer number three among closers.
Let's see. You have...
I have Knebel.
Yeah, Knebel.
But there's no way I have the Yankee closer. All right, the music stopped. I guess no more questions.
No more questions, but you got time for a name game before we get out of here?
Sure.
Sure.
Everybody wants to hear a name game.
Heidely hodely.
Diddly doolittle. What?
The dilly of a pickle.
Diddly doodly Ned Flanders.
Dilly wall.
The dilly of a pickle.
I say diddly doodly da da da.
The dilly of a pickle. We can't do the drop.
With all the dilly delight birds.
It's a dilly of a pickle. Come on.
Dibbly dibbly do. Whatever, you know.
That's an even
dilly of a pickle.
You just dilly-dallied your way into another thing. Got a name for you. I'm Sultan of Stat.
Bro Stat.
Dog Stat.
I have kids of Stat.
Hamster of Stat.
Wife Stat.
Goldfish of Stat.
Mrs. of Stat.
Something's wrong with you.
I want to play a little game of Trash Tristan here.
Tristan trashes Tristan. Yeah, it all went bad.
Are you singing that?
We're having an intervention.
Something's wrong with you.
That was fantastic.
Oh, man.
That's a good one. We need to have one on every show.
Now, if that is played by the guy who's sitting in front of me on the plane, and then he turns around, I'm going to just lose it. I'm losing it now.
So Kyle, who are we talking about? Who was players?
Doesn't even matter. We got the drop. We're going to go with some outfielders, courtesy of the Power Brokers on Twitter. He wants to start with Eric Thames versus Odubel Herrera. Who you got?
I can't make any case for Thames there, because I don't see him playing a ton. I mean, I think they're really going to play Ryan Braun at first base and Domingo Santana in right field. Yelich is playing left. I think that's what they're going to do. Now, the Phillies also have four outfielders for three spots, but I don't think Eric Thames is getting 500 at-bats, Tristan, unless Braun gets hurt again.
He might get 499 in every single one of them against a righty pitcher.
I'm not going
that's
near
best case.
You know what? I would take Lucas Duda over Eric Thames. And I don't think that's crazy.
I also don't think that's how the name game works. I don't think you pick guys off the board.
I can do what I want.
All right.
You know, has it really come
to... It's Herrera. It's Herrera.
See, I have Thames ranked ahead of him, but it's not by much. And I'm thinking, is it time? Because I did that assuming the Brewers were going to solve this lock jam. Why and they're not.
How can... Like, you have Thames over Odubel?
Because,
I hope I don't. Let me
because the originally crafted set was assuming the Brewers would settle this lock jam, and they haven't. I'm going to have to move these guys down as we get close to opening day. They have Jesus Aguiar. I mean, what are they going to do with all these guys?
I heard he might not even make the team.
How can you let him go? That's like letting Tommy Joseph go for nothing.
I don't think it is. It's pretty different.
Seems like you're leaning Herrera.
I
you got him or Jay
over
Bruce.
Odubel. That's ridiculous. Oh, I've got to update that.
See, that's what I mean. Like we got, but
well, that's just wrong. Well, look, let's make it clear. Odubel's not great. Odubel had 14 home runs and 8 stolen bases last year. He's no superstar. He's not even Brett Gardner. Okay. Mm-hmm. 281, 67 runs. I don't think he's a 20 home run guy. I don't think this is really a safe 20 steal guy. He was 8 out of 13. And he may not play every day. Like, they're going to have, I think, Odubel and Nick Williams start against right-handed pitching. But Aaron Altherr is going to face a lefty every time a lefty starts. And I don't think Nick Williams is going to sit every time. Odubel will sit too.
Right, right. Yeah.
So
it's... The upside's greater with Thames if they find a way to give him 500 PAs every one against the righty.
I'm concerned that Thames would hit like 230.
But this goes back to your point about if you platoon the guy, the Kyle Schwarber argument from a couple years ago, if you sit them against lefties, which is the area which they mightily struggle, isn't that better?
Of course, but they can't sit Ryan Braun against right-handed pitching.
Right, that's, yeah.
Makes too much money, and he would whine and complain and lie. All right. So I'm going to move Odubel
in my rankings. Getting into Ryan Braun's head here.
It's very important that this question was asked because my rankings are wrong. Odubel needs – and actually, they're both overranked. Odubel shouldn't be ranked where he's ranked either. Like, I would – at this point, I would rather have Dexter Fowler over Odubel. I'd rather have Carlos Gomez. Avisail Garcia, I might. You know, I think that's a 25 home run guy. DeShields, because of the lack of steals. DeShields and Malik Smith. Cameron Maben, who might only play 120 games, but
– oof, Maben. Oh, I don't know what to do with that guy.
Yeah, I don't
just
either.
Don't know.
So anyway, that's the deal. That's a good thing. We should do that at the end of every show, and I'll just change my rankings based on the fact
we only have two guys. There's no more.
There's plenty more, but you guys were.
I guess the point of a name game. So Odubel versus Carlos Gomez. Make the case.
I'll take Odubel. It's not a great ballpark for Carlos Gomez. It's really not.
Odubel versus Corey Dickerson.
Odubel.
Thames versus Corey Dickerson.
Ooh.
Dickerson's playing every day.
I don't agree with that. I think he's playing also like Thames, only against the righties.
Yeah, but Thames isn't facing the righties. Braun is.
There's no reason that Eric Thames should be sitting against any right-handed pitchers. He shouldn't. That's
there
exactly
is. He's
what he
going
should do.
To sit because Ryan Braun
it's
has
foolish.
To play.
It's completely foolish.
All right.
They should be playing him again ahead of Braun at first base against right-handed pitchers. I hate what this means for Aguiar. I wish they had a DH.
Odubel versus Dexter Fowler.
You know, that's I've got the note here that I got to move Dexter ahead of.
I
got to
move Dexter up too. Yeah. That's just wrong.
Dexter is right next to him, but I got to put him ahead. Yeah.
All right.
Dexter.
Ronald Acuna against everybody we just named.
I am not saying path to playing time here.
I'm taking Acuna over every player we just named. I'm taking Acuna over all of them. And if Atlanta tells me tomorrow, Eric, we're putting him in the minors, I don't care. I will still take Acuna. Acuna Matata.
Guess what? I agree with you.
Because he is coming up May 1st, April 20th, May 15th. I don't know when he's coming up.
It is 20 days in the minors, isn't it?
Or you know what? I don't even care.
In order to buy an extra year service time. And I'm with you. That's the date.
They'll play, who is it, Lane Adams for 3 weeks. I think Acuna is going to be fantastic.
He's Chris Braun in the Rookie of the Year. He'll come up on that timetable.
Who's Chris Braun?
Chris Bryant.
Oh, Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant.
All right. Time to stop. When Tristan gets like that, it's time to stop. All right.
Doodly diddly.
Thank you so much for listening to our fine show. And please listen to the next one. It's really not that bad. It'll probably be in about a week. I don't know exactly when, but there's only so much I can do. I'm Eric. He's Tristan. For Kyle Soppy, for Gabe Bassane, and for Leo Howell, please have an awesome week.
Everything is awesome.
Dilly of Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.